Good evening, everybody. It is also Rosh Chodesh, Chodesh Tov, Bar Cheshvan. It's raining outside. Parshas Noach is approaching. Very exciting time of year. Hope everyone had a beautiful Yontif. This is the kickoff shir of the year. We had a wonderful year. Tefshin Pei Bet for learning. So Bezos Hashem, we'll have another great year of learning. Monday night Salacha from the Parsha. The way Yom Tov fell out is that we weren't really to pull off. We weren't able to pull off a gracious one. But Baruch Hashem, here we are Monday night, in many ways like the first real Monday of the year. And this evening I'd like to speak about a topic that's very close to my heart. We're going to end up getting more in the Hashkafic realm at the end. We'll start with some halacha related to a very sensitive topic of suicide. Then we will kind of broaden it out to just in general when you have to deal with people who you might be tempted to kind of give up on. And what a the two very different approaches to that, and we'll it'll all be in the context of the parsha. So here we go. The Torah says in this week's parsha that man is allowed to eat meat. Kol remes asher hu chai lachem yela ochla ki yerek esev nasati lachem es kol ach basar benavsho damo lo sochelu. Okay, so again, the laws of kashrus essentially are referred to, and we are no longer limited to, hadama and ha'etz. We can eat meat, but the major pasuk that is a tremendous source for a lot of halacha here is va'ach es dimchem l'nafsho seichem edrosh, meaning although what you're allowed to kill an animal, right, to eat, so that doesn't allow you to what? So va'ach es dimchem l'nafsho seichem edrosh mi'ar kochay edushenu. So man is going to be held to a much higher standard than animal, to the degree that the world has to respect man, meaning animals should not harm man, and man should not harm man. So Rashi says, even though I said, listen, you're allowed to kill animals in order to eat them, but listen, your own blood, Hashofech dam atzmo. If someone, spills his own blood, so, that's not acceptable. So you might have thought, listen, since I'm allowed to kill an animal, so maybe I could kill a person. The next person says, no, shofech dam adam, adam dam yishofech, kibitzel makim asa, so adam. And again, in the middle of that, of those psukim, there's one pasuk that is a reference to suicide. So again, black on white in Rashi, this week's parsha, is hashofech dam atzmo. Even if there's no blood involved. So again, we all are aware of this concept. The Rambam brings down Hilchos Vetzeach, Shmes Nefesh, Perek Beis. This is Halacha Beis, I believe. V'chein ha-horeg es atzmo, kol echad me'elu shofech damemu. So the Rambam is listing a bunch of people that are not formal murderers. In the first Halacha of the Perek, the Rambam had listed classic murder. That is one iser. A second iser that the Rambam writes about is this second category, and one of those cases is a person who commits suicide, and he doesn't call him a rotzeach, rather he's a shofech damim, the avon hariga biyado, the sin of murder is in his hand, v'chayv misa l'shamayim, v'ein ben misa's based in, right? So I mean, obviously you can't kill someone who's already dead, but in the list of others, the Rambam is specific, talking about many individuals who have done acts that are like similar enough to murder. For example, another item on that list is a socher horeg laharog es chaver. You hire a hitman. So is that murder? Right. So it's kind of not murder, but it kind of like is murder. Or sheshalach avada v'hargu. Right. You send your own eved. Or shekafas chaveru. Right. You tie down your friend. In a rather dangerous situation, etc. And in that list, the Rambam says, and so to suicide. So you don't get killed in court and based in for that, but you're chayv misa la shamayim. So interestingly enough, the Rambam would not call the act of suicide an act of murder. Who picks up on that Rambam in Alumdus? The safe. Yeah. Ah, very good. Very, very good. So it says Rabbi Weintraub, don't tell me it's not murder. The Rambam just said, v'avon hariga biado, and the Rambam also called him a shofech damim. All right, so you could have read this Rambam like A.B., Rabbi Weintraub, Shlita, and said, listen, okay, obviously it's not conventional murder. You know, again, in secular law, I don't really know the difference between what we call second-degree murder or manslaughter. You know, I don't know secular law well enough. But ultimately, what the Rambam is referring to someone who killed someone. The only question on you, though, A.B., is why are you not chayav misa? Right, again, just to point out the contrast.
Well, you're chayav misa l'shamayim.
Right, so that's not
you,
right.
What kind of misa do you want this guy to be chayav? There's only one thing left, l'shamayim.
Well, only the suicide case, that would make sense. But the other individuals are still alive, right? If I hire a hitman, the Rambam could have said, well, I'm chayav misa. And again, just to contrast with halacha aleph, the Rambam in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah Shurzevish, there is halacha aleph, it's kol ahorig chaver biyad, right? You literally, you know, you kill someone, don't you kill? Besav, use a sword, obey Evan, whatever. You strangle the guy, you burn the guy. Hoil vahargo mikol makom hu ba'atzmo, hareze neharag be'beistin. I mean, the Rambam is presenting a contrast. You know, I should have made it a little clearer the first time. So guy number one, who like uses his own body with a weapon or fire to kill another individual, that's called murder in the classical sense. Halacha beis is different. And then the Rambam in halacha gimel is almost a little apologetic. He actually needs to prove to you why all these other guys are forbidden. He says, how do I know? In halacha gimel, he says, well, listen. Shofech dama adam, you know, that's this week's parsha. Also, that's called zehorek ba'atzmo. That's like the first guy. He's like mamash a murderer. And then the Torah in this week's parsha also says, as dimchem lanaf shezechem edrosh, that's suicide. And then the Rambam goes pasuk by pasuk. You know, it's just fascinating. All these halachas are learned from this week's parsha, which makes sense. You know, after Hashem destroyed the world, what do we now need to learn about the value of life, right? Meaning, it's very fitting that in rebuilding the world, right, that's exactly where the Torah needs to establish that what happens was a last resort. But moving forward, we don't take life for granted, you know, should be noted. Either way, okay, so you can't commit suicide. And, all right, so you could have argued that that is not all that different from murder. However, the Minchas Chinuch does want to argue that it is different than murder. The Minchas Chinuch, again, I could have seen a gun either way. But V'hinei Ma'abed as Atzma Ladas, says the Minchas Chinuch in Parshas Yisro, Mitzvah Lamed Dalet, he writes, Eino Bechlal Lav Delo Tirtzach. So that's the way the Minchas Chinuch phrases it, meaning one of the Ten Commandments is, you shall not murder. So Lo Tirtzach, so does that include suicide? So again, committing suicide is obviously Aser, etc. But is it formally included in Lo Tirtzach? Apparently not, says the Minchas Chinuch. The only chayv misa b'dei shemayim, and he uses the Rambam as his proof. So apparently, because the misa b'dei shemayim is the onesh, so that is the giveaway that it's not considered murder. Right, so
what are you
talking about?
Are you talking
about his ownership? Yeah, clearly. So, again, what is kares, right? So it's a huge machlokas what kares is. Of course not, of course not. So the question, though, what is kares? So there's no question that one of the many pshatim in kares, though, has to do with a punishment in the next world. Right? Like your soul is cut off to some degree. I mean, yeah, there are punishments, obviously.
Yeah, but
right, so you're saying, usually we assume Misa B'Shamayim means Beis Din can't really nail you, but God will you know, finish the job. Exactly, there's an insurance policy on the Torah, and God will take care of you. You will get killed from God. So apparently this is a more spiritual element of Misa B'Shamayim. Yeah, we'd have to look more into that. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I thought I heard something when it comes to suicide. You can't get grounded very often, saying the guy was in such a state of mind and he wasn't responsible for kind of like
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of wiggle room. Yeah. You know, Rahman Allah, I hope no one here has had to deal with this stuff, but the major question is about burying someone in a cemetery, Jewish cemetery, giving them, you know, a shiva. So there's no question that the halacha goes, you know, very clear on this one. That we will almost always assume that there was extenuating circumstance, like, you know, to the degree the halacha will say that if he went up to the roof and he even told you, if I'm not mistaken, I didn't prepare this part, but Even if he went up to the roof saying, I think I'm going to jump, and he then was found on the floor, we assume that he fell. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the tone of the halacha. We don't want to, we don't treat these people as guilty. Yeah, there's a lot of that, there's a lot of that, and, that's right, exactly right. Yeah, so again, that wasn't the, that's not the whole point of this shiur, but yeah, there is a lot out there on this. There's a lot of that. Okay, anyway, so the Minchas Sinach that wants to argue that this is not lo tirtzach, and there's actually a couple nafkaminas. So if I am chayev for, misa, so what do we assume in halacha? That if you are chayev two punishments, right, kim le b'derami would dictate that you only get the more severe punishment, right? So if I try to kill Reuven, and in the context, in the process, I, break his dishes, right? So because I killed him, so I don't have to pay his family back for the dishes, I only get the capital punishment. So, but if I what? Am not deserving of the death penalty, so that you can only, hold someone accountable for one punishment. Again, now you'll say that if someone committed suicide and he's already dead and we don't fine him, again, if you did fine him, right, so what is your worship would have to pay again. But on an analytical level, so we will hold that this guy is not chai for murder. But here's another fascinating nafkamina. Gam nirli de b'nei Noach ein mitzuva. Wow. So is a non-Jew responsible, is he chayiv, if he were to commit suicide? So the Minchas Sinach argues that this mitzvah, this isser, does not apply to non-Jews. Why? Because the Torah here is in Parshas Noach, Machdim chem l'nafsho seichem, and it wasn't repeated at Har Sinai. And if the mitzvah was repeated at Har Sinai, so v'lo nishes b'sinai imkein li'Yisrael nemra v'lo l'bnei Noach, meaning, I don't know too much about why non-Jews are bound by the Shema Mitzvah B'nei Noach, but based on what I'm learning in the Minchas Sinach here, it would seem very clear that only that which was established at Har Sinai can be considered Shema Mitzvah B'nei Noach, meaning the Torah is, what do you have?
The pasuk right here.
Yeah, that's the, yeah.
But Shofech Dam Adam Adam Damo Yishofech is a pasuk that also used for abortion.
Yeah, very good. So that's different. That's very different. Hold on.
So therefore, for a goy,
yeah,
mitzvahs may noach, he's chayav.
Yeah.
For a Jew, because it's my we're chayav because of my Har Sinai, and abortions are included in that. It would not be mitzvah.
Yeah. Again, we're much more machmir by non-Jews with abortion, right?
Right. And that's what's possible.
Yeah. But what's the Minchas Sinach saying here? That since the pasuk of suicide is a pasuk in Parshas Noach, and it was not repeated at Har Sinai, so what does that imply?
That implies that it's a B'nai Noach is kind of
B'nai. So you're saying B'nai Noach ain't in the two. So you're saying it makes that sentence makes no sense. You're saying it makes no sense.
Good.
You're saying what it really means is that what?
No, it's if it's in this pasuk and it's not in Mamad Har Sinai,
yeah,
that means just like an abortion, that a boy may be chayav and a Jew would not.
No, but obviously a Jew is chayav in suicide. Meaning, you can't say that suicide only applies to non-Jews. It says, Gam nearly de b'nei Noach ein mitzuva. And we can look at the original. Maybe there's like a... Again, I was struggling with this. But that's what it says. That's what it says. Again, I don't know too much about... That's what it says. I'm looking at it right in front of me. He says, Gam nearly de b'nei Noach ein mitzuva. Jerome. All right. Let's just put that. We'll put that in a question mark. If anyone has any help for me, again, I can look more into it. I specifically said it apologetically because I wasn't 100% sure how Shiva Mitzvah and Noach work. But on the books, there is a prohibition of suicide, and the Minchas Sinach tries to analyze it. If it's a murder, is not murder. Does it apply to non-Jews, etc.? I don't know too much about those items, but I'm going to raise a different challenge, and this is where we're going to really kind of hone in on this evening. We know that if you see someone drowning, you have to save their life. You have to save a life if the person's in danger. If someone is trying to commit suicide, do you have to save their life or no? Yeah, I would have said...
No, I think not.
Oh.
Because that's like if someone's trying to destroy his own property, you don't have to save it because he's doing it
Very smart, Adam. So, Jerome, I would have said, like, jump. Like, we've all grown up. You've seen the scene in the movie or whatever where someone's just going to jump. And everyone's like, don't do it. And, like, you know, it's a moral obligation.
New Yorkers say, jump.
So we would have assumed that, like, you'd be pretty sick to just, like, let someone commit suicide. But, you know, Dr. Karp, you know,
so
is not afraid to take this position. Right.
So
the Litvisha Dr. Karp is saying, what do you mean? This guy wants to kill himself. Okay. You know, not my problem. Jerome, yeah, what would your response to that be? Oh, so you're allowed to kill him back, right? A Rodef, right? If I, and I'm allowed to kill Reuven if he's coming to kill you. So if I see Reuven trying to kill himself, so is the night of the Menachas Chinuch.
I don't remember where the source was. It's learned from
Menachas Chinuch, according to Menachas Chinuch.
From
Yeah, you're totally right, Adam. Your mom is Mechamed the Menachas Chinuch. Near Lechoyer, says the Menachas Chinuch in Parshas Kedoshim, Mitzvah, Reish Lamed Zayin. Dim Echad Ma'abir Asmal Adas. So if you see someone trying to commit suicide and you can save him. Efshar de Enan Muzar al Halav. Maybe there's no lav of Lotam al Damrecha. I mean, Lotam al Damrecha means you're not allowed to see someone drowning or whatever is in danger. So there is an assay of Vashiva Sulam. I mean, in the same way there's a mitzvah of Hashem Saveda, so I also have to restore life to someone, meaning if I see them in pain. I see them in danger. So again, he goes into this whole idea over here, and he compares it to what? Another halacha, the next makor, is a Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat. Hama'abir mamon aladas. If someone is throwing their money out the window, do I need to stop him? Do I need to return the money to him? Ein nizkakin lo. Yeah, Rabbi, that makes sense, right? If I'm throwing my money down the tubes, so you don't, you know, that's my problem, right? So that's what he says. The Shulchan Aruch Kesar hiniach paraso berefesh she'en ladeo. So if I store my cow in a barn without a door, or whatever, I don't tie the door closed, whatever, right? You know, I don't tie up the cow, whatever, and it leaves. Or hishlich kiso b'shuram, I leave my wallet in the middle of the public street. So I'm essentially signing up for, you know, whatever. My dad and my daughter Shani in Simchas Torah left her candy bag out in the open. I think it was snagged in like 10 seconds. So my wife and I had to explain her the Sif and Shulchan Aruch. We're like, listen, Shani, you know, you put your candy bag in the Shus HaRabim. On someone's store, these kids are vultures. You know, like, she had no chance. So, you know, see, if she would have grown up in New York, you know, that never would have happened, right? You raise your kids in Fairmont, they get the streets much a little bit after age 8, you know. But now, by age 9, she'll be in New York.
New York, that would never.
Yeah, in New York, you know, she would have known already to, like, you know, defend her candy. Anyway, some Mandelstam drama on someone's dope. But they had enough candy. I actually stole it. Not a crazy dentist. Okay, anyway, let's go on. So essentially what the Shulchan Aruch is saying is that if someone's wasting the money, it's their problem, not your problem. So you don't have to return it to them. Says the Minchas Chinuch, hello. Same thing. Just like it's not my problem if he wastes his money. It's not my problem if he wastes his life. Ramosha Feinstein says, Chas v'chalila. Chas v'chalila. He's... Meaning what? As opposed to what? You're saying what? You're saying, so if you see someone with bad behavior, Jerome, then there will. There are two ways to respond. That's right. So is it every man for themselves or not? So apparently, I unfortunately didn't have time to look into this, but Rav Shlomo Kluger is also quoted here. The Chacham Shlomo Choshen Mishpat. Rav Moshe Feinstein, number one, quotes the Menachas Chinuch that we just learned. And then he further quotes Rav Shlomo Kluger that, She'im ein ha'atzala lefi kvodo, einu mechuyv la'atzilu, holy smackaroons, that if by saving you, it would be beneath my dignity.
He's got to jump into the water.
Yeah, meaning seemingly if someone's committing suicide, and it would be beneath my dignity to save him. You don't have to forego your honor. And Rav Moshe Feinstein says, Pashut b'mechilas kavod ga'onim elu. Right, the respect of Rav Moshe Feinstein. He says, I'm now about to respond to the Minchas Chinuch and of Shlomo Kluger. And he says, these are Gaonim. I'm not looking to question their abilities, but he says, Hutaus Gamur, the dead wrong. The dead wrong. And he has a fiery response. Here he goes. Number one, he responds to Rav Shlomo Kluger. You want to say that kavod matters? You know who also deserves kavod? The Ribono Shel Olam. Kavod Shemayim matters a lot. Do you know what Hashem says about his own kavod when it comes to life? His kavod doesn't matter. How do we know that? Every isser in the Torah, like violating Shabbos or whatever, can be pushed aside for the sake of pikuach nefesh. So don't tell me that your kavod is any more important than than Hashem's kavod. Because Hashem forgives his kavod to save lives. So maybe you should also get over your own kavod for another person's life. So if Shlomo Kluger came back from the dead and responded to the, what? I don't know. I will respond to that, though. I will. You think it's easy. Holy smokes. Yeah, what does that mean? Yes, that's my answer as well. Go on, Adam. It's a historical context question. Yeah, go on, Adam.
Because today we look at suicide very differently than we looked at years ago.
That's right. That's exactly right. And then he goes to the... We're going to talk about that. He goes to the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch is comparing money to blood. Someone throws... Okay. What do you mean it's a Gemara? Okay. You're right. It does. It's a different Gemara, but a different halacha. That there are people who value their money more than your life. That's not this, okay? All right, smarty. Yeah, over there. All right, Fox News. All right. If I'm ever on Fox News, Adam's done. I'm just as firm as him. That's a different Gemara. But you are right. The Gemara does say that people who value their money more than life, and Rav Moshe in this Tshuva life, and there are also people who honor their kavod more than their life. All right. But ultimately, the Minchas Chinuch is comparing money to blood. If someone throws their money out the window, okay, they're allowed to do that. Maybe you want to say it's Baal Tashchis. But that is not, that's not something that can be compared to suicide. He says, Davar Sheroi Adam La'asos Kein. You know why? You know why you're allowed to throw your money out the window? Who owns money? Meaning, you could say... What's not yours?
Money's not yours anyway.
Money, you have the right to kind of do what you want with, right? As opposed to what?
Life.
So Moshe finds and says, V'lachein barer upashut shechayavim lahatzilo. If Reuven wants to commit suicide, you obviously need to save him. And you even need to violate Shabbos to save him. And he says, by the way, it's also the Maral Diskin, the Chalkes Yoav. They need to save someone, even if they committed suicide. Holy smackaroons. So again, a heated debate about whether or not we violate Shabbos, etc., to do that. Now again, on alumnus level, I really would love to open up the original Minchas Chinuch and try to figure out that piece. That part, I unfortunately didn't look into well enough. That was one part of this. I'm just not at all clear on about the status of Bein Noach and suicide. I apologize. I need to clarify that in my own head. But the main point I want to focus on this evening is this part, that the shita of the Minchas Chinuch is that someone wants to commit suicide, not my problem. I don't have to say anything. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, are you crazy? Are you crazy? And in our generation, we are much more in line with Rav Moshe Feinstein, right? We are much more in line. You know, that's the way of the world, right? You save someone, you feel badly for them, you try to help them, get them the help they need. But let's in liberal America, in tough shape, try to at least tap into both sides. Because, you know, Adam's right. Historically, if you wanted to commit suicide, that was the worst of offenses. It was the worst of offenses, meaning there's no pity on you. And it's almost something that no one in America is willing to do anymore, where they say, you know what, that person is not accepted. Right? We're so tolerant in America that even someone who commits suicide is viewed as a victim of mental health issues, right? as opposed to someone who is a bad person, right? We say that he's the victim, not someone who is a villain. And I could have heard exactly how Adam responded, like, in Halacha, just like, dude, you're doing a really bad thing. You don't deserve a Jewish burial, and like, Shalom, like you know, you're done, like, you're excommunicated. Right? So again, you know, that flavor of Europe that we're not really in touch with, right? So, but I can hear it. I can, my ears can handle the thing. But obviously, in our generation, it's time to also focus on the Ramosha side. Like, why did Ramosha's Feinstein respond so fired up, so passionately, to say that's not the Torah Shkafa? Clearly, if someone's trying to commit suicide, right, you don't want to give up on that person.
In context, after the Holocaust.
Ah, very good. So
the late 40s and 50s when he was most active.
Very good. So I wanna argue that this machlokas in Halacha really opens up a door for the entire hashkafa of just not giving up on anyone, and even when they have given up on themselves. And as an educator, someone who has been involved with Kiruv, you know, I have dealt with many people who have seemed to have given up on themselves. And therefore, by extension, I have not given up on them, you know, maybe in davening, but there seems to be no course of action to take anymore. Meaning, this person has chosen a path of life, and he's set in his ways in a very bad path that is against the Torah. Then, you know, 10 years later, you see them with their payas and their, you know, and you never know. You know, it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. Where you don't, when we say you don't give up on another Jew, it doesn't, it's not fluff. It's a MS la'amito, why? Because there really is a concept of Tchias HaMeisim, right? Meaning, there really is a concept of Tchias HaMeisim. And again, if you're really giving a halachic discussion, if from Parsha Noach, you know, people would speak about a goses, right? The halacha is very clear that even if someone is going to die, a goses, someone is going to die, you do not accelerate their death. Big no-no in halacha. Big no-no, right? Pulling the plug in halacha. There's a big ramah in Shulchan Aruch, in Yoredeya, the last Makor. We're not focusing on here. The only thing that the halacha allows you to do is that if they're essentially dying and there's something that's just getting in the way of the death, you're allowed to kind of passively allow them to die. But you're not allowed to actively accelerate. Yeah, so again, yeah, and be in touch with the rabbi, you know, signing DNRs, all that stuff. But what's very clear is that the halacha, the Torah, values every second of life and every ounce of blood. Every ounce of blood. So let's look a little bit at a Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Al teratz es chavercha b'shas kaso. Don't look at your friend when he's angry. Now, are you allowed to be angry? No, you're not yet, right. Meaning it's usher to be angry.
But it's a fact of life.
Right, but it's a reality. It's a reality. You're allowed to fake anger. You're allowed to fake anger with your students. You're allowed to fake anger with your children. You're not allowed to be angry. That's around them, right? That you're allowed to express anger to scare them. I do that all the time in my classroom. My students know that I yell at the guy on the left of the room, but I wink at the guy on the right of the room. So they know that I'm not actually angry. It's a, whatever. It's a good,
They all know.
Because they're not sure if I'm really angry or not, and they wait for the wink. And then when I wink, they'll start laughing. It's a, whatever. It's a good shtick. Anyway, but the point is that here's the halacha telling you, he's violating us. He's angry. Don't try to calm him down. And then further in the Mishnah, it says, V'al Tishtadel or Oso Bishas Kalkalto. Don't look at him at the moment of his kilkul. Rabbeinu Yonah says either he's experiencing something highly embarrassing, like he's getting damaged or whatever. Oh, what does he say? Asa Avera. If someone violated an Avera, don't look at him. He's embarrassed. I, in my rabbinical poetic license, I want to say, there's a green light to some degree of looking the other way. Very good. That sometimes, in order for society to function, we don't hold people to the highest standards. Meaning, someone wants to commit suicide, so you could say, okay, you're a bum, shalom aleichem. Or you could also say, I'm not going to let you commit suicide. Why? Because I know there's a deeper part of you that is so much more alive, even more than you realize. And so too, if you see someone sinning, you know, as opposed to yelling at the guy and saying, what's wrong with you, you're an avarian, there's a concept of looking other way, and ironically here, looking at the other way is an act of saving the person, right? Meaning, what are you accomplishing when you look the other way? You're giving them the opportunity to live. Because what would happen if you didn't look the other way? What would happen if you called them out every time they sin? Right? Imagine if you gave someone tochach every time they sin, or you embarrassed them. Society would not function, right? You'd always be, you know, calling out people's flaws. And I thought that's exactly what the Ribono Shel Olam himself is dealing with in the creation of man. Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. Right. You can't take what I'm saying. Right. You can't be over-tolerant, but you can't be over-exacting either. Right? And again, Beis Din has to know how to administer punishment 100%. I'm saying pick your battles. And I'm saying the Ribono Shel Olam himself is teaching us this lesson. Why? What is Elokim? Midas Adin. Originally, he tried to create the world of Midas. Then what happened? It didn't work. He had to create it with Shem Hashem later on. And what happens in this week's parasha? Mankind fails, right? And then in the Bereishis, Hashem says, this is not working out, mankind. Noach is the only one who what? Who satisfies, who kind of consoles Hashem's feelings. And what happens? Hashem has to destroy everyone else. And what happens after the flood? Nothing good. Hashem makes a pact with mankind with the rainbow. What is Hashem really saying with that rainbow? What's he really accomplishing?
You deserve to be punished.
I'm going to look the other way. Meaning you deserve death. You're essentially committing suicide. You have given up on yourself. And therefore, I should really also give up on you. But I'm gonna say there's a deeper spectrum of the personality. Right? Again, the Rav happens to have a brilliant analysis of how the rainbow scientifically relates to this. Not for now. But that's what Hashem signs up for. And then what happens next? Noach himself falls. The hero of humanity. And what do his two sons do? They literally look the other way. They walk backwards to cover their father. Who's the exception? Cham. Cham gets right in there. And he publicizes the nakedness of his father. Now, this is painful because you want to learn this piece of Rav Soloveitchik both in Hebrew and in English because he's quoting the Sefer Yemei HaZikaron here, remember Lefziger? But I love this. I love this so much. Why? Cham merely saw his father naked and told his two brothers. Why then did Noach subsequently curse Cham so severely? Cham wanted to find deficiencies and defects in his father to reveal his nakedness to the entire world. According to Cham, it was incumbent to show the world that Noach was in fact not as righteous as his reputation might have suggested. Despite the fact that the Torah testifies that Noach walked with God, Cham was nonetheless interested in demonstrating that this was not in fact the case. And Noach was hypocritical. Such is the hatred of the Am Haaretz. I love this. And also, I think the English is even more harif than the Hebrew. Such is the hatred of the Am Haaretz, the ignorant person, for the Talmid Chacham, for the elevated, exalted personage, whose life has an objective and purpose. Look at Noach, the vaunted savior of the world, as he wallows in a drunken stupor, says Cham. The Torah does not justify Noach's behavior. An Avram or a Moshe would certainly have acted differently, yet the Rav here speaks about historical context. At the same time, one must remember that Noach had experienced an extraordinarily difficult time, responsible for the tempest-tossed ark and all its inhabitants while the outside world was being destroyed. After his travail, he drank a little too much wine. It was in Noach's interest that this incident be forgotten, that his shame not be publicized. The Torah attests that Shem and Yefes did not see their father's nakedness. Why didn't they see what Cham saw? Because they, in contrast to Cham, did not want to reveal Noach's impetuous mistake. Mamish mafurish, first elevation, right? Meaning, you could either live the life of seeing suicidal individuals as suicidal individuals, or saying, let's try to help society a little bit. You can either look at someone who sins and says, off with the head. Or you, sometimes you turn the blind eye. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, I think, is teaching us in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, the only way for society to function is to turn a blind eye. Sometimes. And boy, do we want the Ribbono Shel Olam to turn a blind eye to us sometimes. And for our community to function, for the broader community to function, you need to look past people's faults. It's the nature of Shalom Bayis. It's the nature of parenting. But, you know, society can't function if you're over-tolerant. So maybe America's a little bit over-tolerant. But at the same time, maybe there's what to say about looking past people's faults. It's a balance that requires more scrutiny, just like the Menachas Chinuch that I do not yet understand. All right, let's do Marv. It's 9 o'clock.